Let me love thee more and more till this fleeting life is over. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Go with me back to 1 Peter 1. I'm in love with the Word of God, and especially this chapter. I love this chapter. I hope we don't leave 1 Peter 1 for the rest of the ministry. We'll just stay in 1 Peter 1. Don't you love everything he mentions? Glorious election, abundant mercy, lively hope. In verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. As we read on down into the chapter, I believe we can understand more of what the end of verse 12 says, which things the angels desire to look into. It's so precious to them. It's just so precious to them. The angels are taken with the subject of our salvation. They're just taken with it. Down in verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." This precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is without blemish and without spot. The angels love him. I mean, they love him. They love him so much. They serve him with gladness. Their entire existence is given to and focused on doing his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Their entire existence. While they are executing the charge that has been given to him, he'll give his angels charge over you. Station them with you. And while they're executing the charge, they are constantly beholding his face. Constantly. He is their all. I mean, he's their all. He is their all. For them to know that he redeemed sinful men and women, the one who is their all, for all the angels in heaven, there's only one thing that matters. There's only one person that matters. All of heaven is pointing to and looking at one man. And for them to know that this one sinless, spotless man redeemed sinful men and women, not with all the silver. He has all the silver. Not with all the gold in the hills is his. Not with anything else that heaven has. For them to know that he did not just make the payment, but that he was the payment. I mean, the object of all their desire. To know that he was the actual payment. For them to know that he emptied his own blood. They dwell on the fact that he emptied himself. The one that they love to just hear his voice. I can't wait to hear his voice. I know for a fact no one and nothing will ever get tired of hearing his voice. It'll never grow old. Never. Everything he says, they love to hear his voice. They love to behold his face. They love to get a commandment from him. They're ready and waiting. What would you have me to do? Love the fact that he is their God. He's the angel's God. He's our ruler. That's our king. Our life, our all. For them to know that he, because of his love for his elected, chosen, particular sinners, he emptied himself of everything but that love. Emptied his life. Emptied his own justification. Emptied his own sanctification. Emptied his own righteousness. All of that blood and water poured out of him. And for those angels to watch a man named Joseph of Arimathea. They watched this man go up and humbly beg a mere mortal named Pilate if he could have the body. This lifeless, bloodless body. The body of the one who's the glory of heaven. All of that now being given, that life and that blood being given to sinners who did not deserve it. All of those angels hover over and they watch Joseph of Arimathea and this other dear man named Nicodemus wrap his glorious body in fine linen and spices. And they watch them lay him in a tomb and seal it with a stone. For every one of those angels to hear and experience and feel silence in heaven. And then for the charge to come, go roll the stone away. And there he is. There he comes. Walking right out of his tomb. Out walks their God. Now with a completely redeemed number of saints. Not sinners. Saints. That no man can number. Now, because of that, us bearing his image. The one they love. Us now through that death he suffered. Us being vitally united to him. They see our vital union with him. After all that, the angels can't help it. They love us with all of their hearts. They love us with all their hearts. They love us in him. They love us for Christ's sake. Every angel in glory cries, any soul that he loves, we love. His love is our love. And they are so excited. They are so excited for our redemption. So excited. They are not all-knowing like he is. This is important. They are not all-knowing like he is. No one is all-knowing but him. They're in the same boat we are. They do not know how many souls God elected. They do not know who all they are. They do not know how much longer this earth is going to continue. No man knows that but the Father which is in heaven. No, not even the angels. Just like us, they are so excited and so surprised every time they see a new member of the body of Christ. They love the body of Christ. And every time God reveals one more, they all cry, glory to God, there's one more. Just like us. Glory to God, there's one more. They are currently looking into these things with excitement and joy, listening to the gospel as it's preached, knowing it's the power of God unto salvation. And they are wondering who God is going to save next. If the earth is still going, there's at least one more. Who's it going to be? And every time it happens, all right, now, that's salvation. That's a work that he does. Verse 13 says, wherefore, understanding that, with that being said, wherefore, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Us knowing this, us understanding a little small glimpse of what God has done for us, what he did for us on that cross, what he has prepared for us, what the whole kingdom of heaven is along with us waiting for, that final gathering of all the souls. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then he sums all of that up by saying in verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Fear the Lord. Wherefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Give him the fear and the reverence and the honor that he deserves. This is a exhortation. This is a call to be children of God, followers of Christ. And I sincerely pray the Lord would apply this to me. I beg him to apply this to me. Our children owe us respect. As God's children, we owe him the exact same thing. We owe him respect. We owe him honor. The Apostle Paul said, we are ambassadors of him. As his people, we represent him in the earth. We bear his name. Everything we just read right there is a real exhortation. That's a real exhortation for us. May the Lord really enable us to heed this and enter into this. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Because of what Christ has done for us, because of everything we have waiting for us, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Let's cause our minds, let's cause them to be alert, ready, and sharp to the spiritual things of God. Let's cause them to be. Let's wake ourselves up and make our minds ready. I mean ready. I've told you this before and you've experienced it. You've driven down the interstate on a trip and it's getting late and you're getting tired and you get to that point where you start to realize, I could fall asleep. And what you do is you gird up the loins of your mind. You make yourself ready for the race that's set before you. Until I finish the course. Gird up was a phrase that back then they knew what it meant well. They had these long robes. That's what they wore, like gowns. And they were big. They got in the way. when it was time to go to work, they would pull them up and wrap them around their legs and tie them with a belt. They'd cinch them up with a rope of some kind, and it didn't hinder them anymore. It's like they had shorts on or something at that point. Everything was cinched up, and they could work and not be hindered by it. Well, he's saying, let's do that for our minds. Our minds are so hindered, and they're so cumbered about. They're so full. They're so full of the things of this world. Let's, on purpose, with purpose, dial them in and think on Him. Think on His Spirit. Think on His Word. Think on His work. Think on His return. Dwell on His return. Dwell on His return. Just keep thinking about His return. Let's not allow our minds to just flow to and fro. No active restraint on our part. Let's gird them up. Gird them up. Let's look. Let's watch. Let's wait actively. Actively. Let's sit still and rest and wait as hard as we can, as fervently as we can. On the night of the Passover, they were to sit in their houses and eat the Passover. And that Passover was their salvation. He said, when I see the blood of that lamb, I'll pass over you. That was their salvation, the lamb slain, the sacrifice. But God said to them, while you sit there, I want your loins to be girt. I want shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. You're coming out of this place. I'm telling you, you're coming out of this place. Look with me at Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, find them watching and waiting and looking, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also. Watch like that. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. When do you think He's coming back? Oh, that's a long way away. Well, if that's what you think, it's not going to be when we think. He's coming when we think not. He said, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. Any minute. That's as true and real a statement as I can make. Keep that right in the front of your minds. Keep it right in the front of your minds. At all times, remember, any minute. Any minute. It's any minute. Go with me back to 1 Peter 1. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. That means exactly what it sounds like it means. Let's not let anything numb us. Let's not become insensitive, desensitized, unaware to the urgency and the vitalness of the one and only thing that is needful. Look with me over at 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's a real exhortation. Be sober, be vigilant. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast. How do I do that? How on this earth do I do that? How does a weak, defenseless, incapable sheep be sober and be vigilant and resist the adversary? Verse 9 says, in the faith. That means run to Christ. Run to Christ. Look to Christ. Cry out to Him for help. That's what it is to be sober. It's to not have impaired vision. See nothing but Christ. It's to not have an impaired walk. Don't stumble here and stumble there. Run directly to Christ. Let's be sober. Sober. Back in chapter 1, verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. Hope all the way up to the point He reveals Himself for all to see. Hope to the end. Peter is not saying we have the ability to keep ourselves. If you don't keep hoping, you're not going to make it. He's not saying that. In this very chapter, he says in verse 5, we are kept by the power of God. God keeps His people. The fact of the matter is, this is the truth. This is the truth. The fact of the matter is, those who are kept by the power of God have a fervent, desperate need and desire to keep on. Those who are kept need it. They desire it. It's life and death to them to keep on. Religion is so full of people who they just let their robes flow. They just let it flow. They just mosey in. They just mosey out. They're not at all worried. They're not bothered. They're not anxious over whether or not they're going to be kept. I'm sure it's going to be fine. That's a dangerous place to be. Paul told the Thessalonians, let's not sleep as do others. Let's gird up our minds, be sober, and hope to the end, all the way to the end. Go back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Is he saying that's the condition? Nope. That's the evidence. That's the evidence. Press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. Back in 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Ephesians 2 talks about the children of disobedience. Colossians 3 talks about the children of disobedience. He's saying we've been quickened from that. We've been called to obedience. Is he saying that so that we can somehow clinch our salvation? Salvation's clinched. Salvation is clinched. In Christ, we're His children. In Christ, we are His children. These things are not to decide whether or not we're going to be His children. In Christ, we are His children. And we ought to be obedient children. We just ought to be obedient children. That's not unreasonable. All children ought to be obedient children. All children. Thank God, our obedience to His law that was satisfied in Him. He is our obedience to the law of God. He obeyed that for us. Our obedience to Him is just a loving and a thankful response for that. Thankful, so thankful that He was obedient for us. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. The former things that we all did in our ignorance. Did anybody do anything that was ignorant in your former days? I didn't. No, I'm just kidding. All of our ignorance, so much ignorance. Go with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's not saying that's a requirement for salvation. Salvation is complete. He said that's our reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, he said. What a wonderful exhortation. Be not conformed to this world. Whatever this world does, let's not do it. Whatever this world looks like, let's not look like it. Whatever this world sounds like, let's not sound like it. How is that even possible when in our flesh we are the world? How's that possible? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He said, my people are not of this world, and I'm going to keep them from it. I'm going to keep them from it. If He keeps me, if He conforms me into His image, that's Him conforming me into His image. But Lord, conform us. Begin the work here. Lord, help us, keep us, hedge us about. Draw us near to You. If You do it, we'll be hedged about and kept. That's the only hope we have of it, is if He'll do it. Back in 1 Peter, verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy means pure, it means right, it means sanctified, set apart. We don't see anything pure and right in this flesh when we look at it, but do you know that God says in Christ we are pure and right? In Him we're complete. In Him, we're holy, we're washed, we're sanctified. We are set apart. That's what it means, set apart. Be separate, that's what He's saying. As I am separate, be ye separate. And that's a comforting notification more than a call to do. He's saying, as I am, so are you. We can't separate ourselves from sin. That's a work only He can do. But because He did it, because he pulled us out, he separated us unto himself. He's saying, desire to remain right there. Put off the old man. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. All of God's people were judged according to their work. All of God's people. Every single one was judged according to their work. Do you know what work that was? The work Christ gave them. All of them were judged. He took our work for his own. He was judged according to our work on his record. He gave us his work, and we were judged according to his work on our record. Every single one of us. Because of that, because we were judged in him, because our redemption is ordered, it's sure, and it draws nigh. It's drawing nigh. Let's, as verse 17 says, the end of it, pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. That's the conclusion. Let's fear him. Let's reverence him. Let's bow before him. Look for him. Keep looking for him. Keep looking for him. Keep looking for him. Wait for him. You know, like a man and a woman are in love, and the man has to go off into the service and go across seas, and the woman says, I'll wait for you. Wait for him. Nobody but you. Wait for him. Look for him. Hope in him. Obey him. Be separate with him. That sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Nothing else I'd rather be than separate with him. May the Lord enable us to do all these things. Stand together with me.